Hello, and thank you so much for participating in the Teaching Task Force podcast. Professor Reck, can you just real quick introduce yourself, where you teach, what kinds of classes you teach?
Sure. Yeah, thanks. I'm really excited to be here. So my name is Jen Reck, and I'm an assistant professor in sociology at SF State. And the classes I teach a lot of research classes. So I teach like field research methods. I teach introductory methods. I teach research in the grad program for sexuality studies. I teach introduction to sociology.
And we are colleagues because we are in the same department. And it's such a pleasure for me to have a conversation with you about coming back to our in-person classes. This is something we've talked about on our walks together. And I just wanted to maybe talk to you about, like, what were you thinking? How did you plan your first session? What was going on in your head?
Well, you know, I was trying to kind of grapple with my own feelings about being back in person and then trying to think about how the students might be feeling about being back in person. And, you know, in the first couple of weeks when we were when we weren't in person yet, I was kind of getting to know them and trying to get a sense of how they seemed to be feeling and where they were at with things. But I also just still was aware that there's so much I don't know. And so, like, for myself, I was also kind of trying to figure out how I would feel being back in the classroom. You know, it's like, would it feel familiar? Because I've been teaching for quite a while, right? And so I'm like, is it going to feel like how it used to feel? Is it going to feel super different? I just really wasn't sure. And so I guess I just kind of decided to somewhat treat the first in-person session somewhat similar to even just a first class meeting, you know, in the beginning of the semester. And even though they had kind of gotten to know each other a little bit, to just approach it as a get to know you and community building type focus. And so when I went into it, I just felt like I wanted to slow things down and just spend a lot of time allowing us to just kind of exist in the space together and to talk and just communicate and give students an opportunity to kind of try out again what it feels like to be inside a classroom with other students and to just share.
Yeah. I think about, like, first day, like, in my classes, and I teach like a writing class or a topical class, an upper division global sociology class. And I think about my first day, and I want to make sure that I set like a tone of like, hey, we're going to be in community together. This is a class, but it's a learning community. We're going to help each other. But the first day is also like chock full of information, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of different. They do exist together, but then I'm also at least trying to be like, this is the structure of the class. And here are the things that, you know, you're going to get an A if you do these, you know? And so the existing together for the students, but also for us as faculty, is an interesting way to think about how to commune together after being in pandemic teaching and pandemic learning for so long.
Yeah. And I think we always struggle with this, the trying to balance spending time thinking and working through ideas and this feeling that we have X number of topics we're supposed to cover in a semester and we have to go through them quickly, you know? And like, and it just so happened that the day that we were coming back in person, I was teaching a new piece I hadn't taught before. And it was kind of a new thing I had added in the semester. I'm referring to my field research methods class. And it just happened to be that it wasn't a day where I was like, I have to have them come out of this day knowing how to do an interview. You know, it was actually a class that already was set up to just kind of think and like talk about this article I had assigned and ethnography. And so I kind of lucked out because I wish I would say I had planned it that way, but it just happened to be that we did in fact go back on the day that that was assigned. And I feel like it made it an easier for me to feel that I could just spend a lot of time community building, you know, I maybe would have changed what I had assigned if it had been different. I don't know. All I can say is that I feel fortunate that I felt free to take that space. Cause I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, in terms of how we create our syllabi and what we kind of feel we need to get through in a day. And that isn't always conducive to community building.
And I think it's not conducive to welcoming students back into a classroom and inviting them to be their whole selves in the class, right? I think, I mean, you lucked out, and I think we all can consider our time with our students in person as sacred and really weigh, you know, do we have to, you know, kind of speed up and hit the marks, or, you know, at any given moment in a semester, whether we're coming back from pandemic learning and teaching, or just like making sure that, hey, can we slow things down to check in with students, you know, about, you know, the war in Ukraine and, you know, Black Lives Matter, you know what I mean? Whatever is happening in the world, because we're all living in the world together, you know? What did you end up doing or planning in the class?
Well, I decided to spend, you know, about an hour of the class doing like an icebreaker. And I'm fortunate enough to be working with a graduate student TA. And so we kind of talked together about some ideas of, about what to do. And I just kind of thought that I wanted to get them into small groups, and I wanted to create kind of a structured exercise, but with freedom for them to talk and get to know each other. And so you said something a second ago about kind of like providing opportunities for students to kind of be themselves in the classroom and kind of bring their whole selves into the classroom. And so I just kind of thought, you know, let's just kind of talk through some different icebreaker questions that might be kind of fun and interesting and actually provide an opportunity to get to know each other. And so my TA and I agreed on four questions that we were going to ask the students. And so we put them in small groups and we gave them one question at a time. And then I gave them large pieces of paper and markers, because just there's something about large pieces of paper and markers that makes things more fun and generative. And I said, okay, so here's like question number one. And do you want me to share the questions or just kind of?
Yeah, sure.
I guess I
should. Or just like, I mean, no. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So, oh yeah, I remember. So like, say the first one was, you know, talk together as a group and figure out, you know, other than being sociology majors and SF State students, what are three things that you all have in common?
Love that question.
You know? Yeah. And then like, so they write that down. And then after they do that for a bit, you know, give them the second question. And that one was, you know, talking with the whole group, figure out each of you, what are two things about you that are different, like that no one else in the group has similar to you. And so one of the most exciting, you know, outcomes of that was someone realizing no one else liked mustard in their group, you know, so just like random stuff like
yes,
that. Right.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And then it's great, cause you go around and they're all like, are you the oldest sibling? No, dang it. You know, like, and they're just trying to like figure out, you know, what those things are. And then the third thing was, if you could travel through time, what do you call it? Teleport to any time or place, what would you choose? And so then, you know, obviously the first ones are about like sort of like facts about me. And then the third one is a little more like, what are you interested in and engaged in? And what's your kind of fantasy dream world, you know, about like where in society and the universe you would go. And a lot of the students chose the 90s, which was super interesting.
The historical era of the 90s.
Exactly. For me, who was a young adult in the 90s, right. I was like, wow. So it's just so interesting to learn these things too about them. And then the fourth question was, you know, how are you feeling about being here back together? And yeah, like, what are things that we can do to help support this process for you? So that one got a little more serious, right? And so that was to kind of bring us to this place after they had had some time to really engage, you know, and get to know each other.
Yeah. And how do you think it went? Like, what did you observe about your students' interactions during that time?
I observe, you look around the room and, we're all masked, right? We're kind of more used to this now, but it's different. It feels like there's that barrier. And then, for the last couple of years, we've been experiencing this Zoom barrier. And people, needing to have their cameras off and kind of the ways that conversation happens in a different way in the online setting. And just looking around and seeing people just kind of with their shoulders looking relaxed and like just kind of talking and laughing and having what feels to be, just conversations that you have when you're actually with people in the room, instead of through a computer screen. It just felt like people were enjoying being together and sharing. And it was just really nice to see and experience what felt like very positive shared energy.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned like the shoulders thing. And, it's funny because in my in-person, my writing class is a smaller group, so around like 20 students. I'm starting off every in-person meeting with us. I know it might sound cheesy, but like doing just 5 minutes of mindfulness, like just coming into our bodies. And I kind of talk through like, just like a body scan, but I see their shoulders from like up here to like, I'm like, you can close your eyes. You can just not, you just kind of sit still. And, that whole, just like the body language part, we just start such a different place rather than me, being like, okay, it's noon, it's time for class. Like, there's this texture of like, our being together that is not softer, but it's just like more relaxed, And I love that you said that about like seeing their body language change because, Jen, in my class, my first in-person class, where we were in the syllabus was like a data, like a library data science day. So our first in-person meeting with my writing students was, we were in this like library workshop with super helpful librarian Joe Daniels. But we were in front of computers and, I didn't get to like find out anyone's names. And then I just got to talk for like 5 minutes about the next assignment. And that did not feel good. I walked out of there and was like, I did that wrong, cause everyone just kind of walked off and was like, oh my gosh, we don't have the togetherness, And then last week we were supposed to be in person and there was a power outage that day. And so students came to the door and I was like, we're not meeting. So now we're like, almost 2 months into being together in class. Mm-hmm. And, after having this conversation with you, an invitation to slowness to arrive and like be human and whole in a classroom, I think is really key for kind of just listening into what our students might or might not, but holding a space for them to have time to just interact, because that Zoom wall is very real for many of us, not just them. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, they're, in a place of having to, or kind of they're in a place of being in these in-person classrooms on our campus, many of them for the first time ever.
That's right.
And, and so even though they've been students for, most of their lives, right, going through school, it's just a whole different experience for them right now.
Yeah. And I think we should also, as professors, as facilitators of like learning in our classes, I think it behooves us to think about what it's like to come back, both for us and for our students. So yeah, Jen, thank you so much for having this conversation. And, I really hope that our listeners, our CHSS listeners, take something about what it might mean to, use slowness as a theory of change right now in our classrooms. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciated this conversation.